Good afternoon, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here and to present my research on the stem and chip defect in tubers used for potato chip production. Firstly, please let me briefly introduce the potato plant. So the underground parts of the potato plant include the mother tuber from which the new shoot can develop, and the root systems, the underground stem stolons, and the balkan tip of stolons, the potato tubers. The farther end of a potato tuber is called apical end or bud end, where there are a lot of eyes that can develop into new shoots in the future, and the near end, the stolon attachment end, is called stem end or the basal end. The data from the U.S. Potato Board in 2008 shows that 14% of the U.S. Per capita potato consumption is potato chips. And my research is focused on the chipping potato physiology. Stem and chip defect is a very serious tuber quality concern that can affect chipping potatoes. In the crop year 2006, it can cost more than $10 million loss to the U.S. potato chipping industry. And this defect is characterized by the discoloration in the vascular and the surrounding tissues at the stem end portion of a potato chips. It is hypothesized that this dark color is caused by the reaction between reducing sugars and free amino acids, and this reaction is called Maillard reaction. So far, there has been very little literature about the exact causes of this defect, and that's why we conduct multi-year research to test the potential causes of this defect problem. Based on some preliminary data, we propose that there are two big types of the defect. The first one is abiotic stresses, including water deficit, heat, and immaturity of tubers at harvest. Greenhouse work has been done to see the impacts of those environmental stresses on the stem and defect development. And the second type is a biotic stress. Our field work is underway to test the hypothesis that Vericidium dilii, which is a potato fungal pathogen, can contribute to the defect formation in the tubers. The first part of my talk will be about our greenhouse work. So firstly, we grew some plants in a controlled environment with minimal disease. And this picture is about our plants during their early growing season in the greenhouse. And they were outfitted with mesh cages to keep upward and prevent the vine tangling. And they had very good irrigation systems. And then they were exposed to some transient water deficit in combination with or without heat stress at different growing stages. The picture on the left shows our plants under heat stress during their early growing stage when the tuber had about the golf ball sizes. And the plants on the left bench were suffering from the heat stress plus water stress. And the ones on the right bench went through only heat stress. So this was like a double stress, and here was a single stress. And we can easily see a height difference between those double stress and the single stress. Likewise, the picture on the right shows the same stress treatments, but just during the late season, when the tuber were in about 5 centimeters in diameter, since the plant, the canopies have been fully developed, we didn't see much plant size at this time. After that, we varied the maturity of plants at harvest by two different nutritional treatments. After the second, the late season stress, we treated half of some of the plants with reverse osmosis water to promote the senescence and to mimic what really happened in the commercial fields. And we treated the other half of the plants with quarter-strength nutrient solution to keep them immature. So then we got two levels of maturity, the immature plants and mature plants, which resemble the real-life commercial plants in the fields. And then after the final harvest, we processed some of the tubers immediately and put the others into storage at 13 degrees Celsius for 2 months. And when we process those tubers, we took tissue samples as close as possible to the two ends, the stem end, the bud end and the stem end, as I mentioned before. And the reason we want the samples close enough to the two ends is because of the very localized nature of stem and tube defect. And we will use those tissue samples for invertase activity assay and glucose content assay later on. And after that, we will also fry the potato tissue slices for chips to see how severe the stamen defect is. So generally speaking, there were four different stress treatments: water deficit, heat stress, different stress periods, and different levels of maturity of tubers at harvest. We use an index to grade the severity of the stem and chip defect. It's from 0 to 5. 0 is no color and nice chip. 1 is coloration of just the vascular tissues. And 2 is a color shadow surrounding the vascular tissues. And 3 is the color shadow penetrates up to 1 centimeter from the stolen attachment point into the cortical tissues, and 4 is the coloration can penetrate up to 1.3 centimeters, and 5 is up to beyond 1.3 centimeters. So in the industry, if a potato chip get a defect score from 0 to 2, it's okay. But if it get a defect score from 3 to 5, the tubers that produce those chips will get a higher chance to be rejected for commercial use. In the 2 years of the greenhouse work, we totally fried 576 chips, each chip from a single tuber, and 17% of them with severe defects, and the other 83% with mild or no defects. And then we assign the severe defects as the first category and the mild and no defects as the second category, and did some statistical analysis using the chi-square test. And the results were displayed in this table. So in the first year, none of the four stress treatments produced a significant low p-value. And in the second year, only the heat stress got a p-value, a low p-value, 0.04. So largely speaking, these levels of stresses were not sufficient enough to cause great incidence of severe defect. But this low p-value here is a very good lead for further investigation that heat stress might be a major environmental cause to the stem and chip defect. As I mentioned before, the dark color on the chip is hypothesized to be caused by the Maillard reaction. And the reducing sugars in that Maillard reaction were actually produced by the degradation of sucrose under the enzyme invertase. So we measured the invertase activities and glucose contents in the tissue samples that I mentioned before. I divided my glucose content data set into two groups, the ones before storage and the ones after storage. Luckily, I found a similar patterns of relationship between the defect score and the glucose content in both groups. So the bud end glucose content were constantly low, usually lower than 0.1 milligram per gram fresh weight, no matter what the defect score was. And higher rates of stamen defect score was correlated with higher glucose content, usually higher than 0.1 milligram per gram fresh weight. And this trend was more pronounced in the tubers before the storage. And the invertase activity change with defect score was similar to the ones in the glucose content, that the bud end invertase activity did not change much with the defect score, and higher rates, higher severity of stem and chip defect was correlated with higher rates of invertase, both before and after the storage. Let's move on to our field work. So, like I said before, Vericillium dalyi is a typical candidate for our hypothesized biotic stress stem and cause. And the Vericillium is a potato fungal pathogen that can cause potato early dying, and potato early dying is a very serious yield loss problem in the potato production. And the reason we pick up Vericillium dalyi as a candidate here is because four reasons. The first one is that Vericillium is commonly present in the commercial fields of Wisconsin, and Vericillium can infect the plant vascular systems, which is consistent with the stem and symptom, the vascular discoloration. And the emergence of Vericillium usually goes up when more stem and defects show up. And also, Vericillium favors high temperature and moisture, which is also consistent with our abiotic stress hypothesis. And I got two fields in our agriculture research station, the fumigated field as a control and the Vericillium inoculated field, where plants grown there show high rates of potato early dying. And in the season, we squeeze the sap from the green vines to count the colony forming units, CFU in short. And CFU is a measurement of the viable fungal cells from the sap. And we found that the cultivar A has a very significantly higher CFU number compared with the controls and with other varieties. Consistent with this finding, the severe stem and defect incidence in cultivar A is also significantly higher than the control and the other three cultivars. So these two findings indicate that there might be some variety differences in terms of the susceptibility to the fungal pathogen Vericillium dalyi that can be related to the stem and defect development. So in summary, we categorized the causes of stem and chip defect into four groups. The first group is abiotic factors. Heat stress, we think, might be a major cause, environmental stress cause to this defect problem. And we were pretty sure that water deficit and immaturity of tubers at harvest are not the major causes based on our statistical analysis. And the second group is biotic factors. Vericillium dalyi infection can be greatly contribute to the defect formation. And also there will be some varietal differences in terms of the susceptibility to the fungal pathogen infection and to the environmental stresses. And we also think that there will be some interactions of the factors in the first two groups. And still there will be some unknown factors that needs to be further investigated. So finally, I would like to thank my funding resource, the U.S. Potato Board, to support my research. All my committee members, Paul Baskey from USDA ARS in UW-Madison, my advisor, and other committee members, my lab member, Jim Bussey, in my lab. And, he's a technician and helped me a lot with the lab work. And Amy, as a very smart postdoc lady in my lab, and all the other help. So thank you, and I would like to take any questions and comments.
We do have time for a few questions.
Okay, so actually the temperature we stored the tubers was 13 degrees Celsius, so it's like a warm temperature versus so-called cold-induced sweetening, which usually at low temperature and invertase activity will be a big concern when they are stored at low temperature. But here, we just confirm ourselves that invertase is an enzyme that in this pathway to produce the reducing sugars, because we know that this dark color is caused by the reducing sugar reaction. So the start, it's like it's just a start of our research, but usually I think we will keep track of the invertase activity in season and out of storage. So usually in the season, the invertase activity will be low, but after you harvest them and during the storage, it will go up and then go down. But we don't know the time point of the peak, where that is. It depends on different varieties and different field conditions. It's different. But it's a challenge to know that time point. But the good thing is, if we know that time point, we can know when the invertase activity will be the highest and when the accumulation of reducing sugars will be very high. So we can avoid that point and process the tubers after it goes down. So, okay. Thank you.